Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Gabor.io. Today, we have Jordan Scott. Jordan Scott is the founder and CEO of Gobble. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Having me.
So can you give us a brief background about yourself, what you've been doing prior to Gobble?
Yeah, so I actually studied journalism in college. I went to New York University here in the city, and I really just had a passion for writing and for, movies. So I actually studied a combination of journalism, screenwriting, and fiction writing. I'm a big reader, and I just really appreciate beautiful content. So that's really what I studied. But at the same time, I was always I was an early adopter for all things tech. You know, I always had new apps downloaded on my phone. And I realized once I got my full-time job after college, which was at CBS This Morning, that I really wanted to continue telling stories and sharing great content, but sort of combine that with creating something new and developing a new way to consume content and actually take action on that content. So I knew I wanted to create something that was about experiencing life and just doing more and living life to the fullest. You know, you've heard it all before. But I especially was interested in why there wasn't any platform for couples. You know, there was all these dating apps. Here's how to find your partner. Here's how to, you know, get connected with someone. But there was nothing for once you were connected, once you were in a relationship. And I thought that was really strange. And I was in a relationship. I actually just got married on New Year's Eve, but this is when we were just dating. And I felt like one issue we were having was the every single night conversation of what do you want to do tonight? What do you want to eat tonight? I don't know. What do you want? And, you know, back and forth. And when I spoke to a couple friends, it was like, yes, we are also having this conversation and this weird, you know, argument every night. And I was sort of thinking, how can we combine great content with this idea of making a decision and actually getting to a decision? So all of that is to say, I left CBS This Morning to start creating content for couples specifically. So I didn't know what the product would be yet, but I knew I wanted to start growing an audience, and I wanted to start, you know, putting together really great ideas about how to spend your time together. So the plans on IDK tonight were things like go to this Broadway show and then get a nightcap at this secret bar afterwards, or go on, you know, find this cool underground comedy show and here's where to get dinner first, or whatever it was. It was all about curating and putting things together. And once I launched IDK, once I started putting the content out, once I started growing the audience, we were learning a lot about these users. And eventually, of course, I came up with the idea of Gobble sort of through that venture. So not a crazy history of work other than, you know, I had lots of great internships throughout college as well that I'm happy to speak to. They all had some sort of impact on me.
Got it. So congratulations on the wedding and congratulations on starting the company. But how it feels like to be starting a company just before pandemic and being a startup, then you just kind of like get hit by so many turbulence, so many whirlwinds. Can you share the early days experience with us?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I mean, it was a wild experience. Of course, we had started developing and building the app in 2019 and sort of had this grand plan for launching in 2020. I was also supposed to get married at my big wedding in October of 2020. It was supposed to be like, you know, the crazy year for me. And we, you know, this app, Gobble, was specifically about finding things to do out of your home, right? It was really about being out in the world and discovering unbelievable experiences and you know, making decisions on them with your partner. So just very briefly, by the way the app works is that you are seeing this curated content pop up one at a time. So really not overwhelming. If you like it, you swipe right. If you don't like it, you swipe left. And if you and your partner, you're connected on Gobble, you both swipe right, you match just with each other on that piece of content. And again, it was all about going out. So we are all geared up, ready to launch. We beta tested like crazy at the end of 2019 and early 2020. And of course the pandemic happens, and it really forced us to augment our content just earlier than we had anticipated. You know, this was always supposed to be a decision-making engine that was more about just where you go get dinner. And so we plunged ahead on some of the other content pillars, like what you're cooking in your apartment and what virtual events to attend and what to watch on Netflix was like a huge one that we decided to launch. And our early testers were loving it and they were bored at home. And so it just felt like the right time to put it out there and start collecting data on how people were using it. It just felt to me like I have no idea when this pandemic is going to be over, when people can go out, and I'm not going to put my, you know, product and goals for this product on hold. So we launched it. We launched it at the end of June. And what was nice about that too was outdoor dining in New York was starting to become a bigger thing at that point. So people were using Cobble both for going out in this new strange way. And also if you didn't feel comfortable going out, they were using it for all the at-home content. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. We both launched, and as I'm sure you want to talk about, we raised our seed round during
going to come down to that. Raising a seed round over Zoom when everything is closed, you know?
Yeah.
Can you share a bit more on the experience around that, please?
Yeah. You know, I think for me, I had this vision of raising money, being in a boardroom with all these guys and, you know, having like people clapping at the end of it and shaking hands. And it's just so funny because I don't even think that that's real. Like even pre-pandemic, it's like, that was such a fantasy. And what raising money really was like, was I was alone in this room the whole time, just talking to, you know, really, really smart people, really unbelievable connections and angels. And the way it happened was like, you know, we had sort of this go-to list of connections, right? Like it really is so much about who you can get a warm intro to and who you can sort of pique their interest. And then if you get somebody excited and your passion really comes through, they get all of their, you know, investing buddies to sort of jump on the bandwagon. And that's exactly what happened with us, was we got people really excited. You know, the fact that it was doing well at all in the pandemic and that we launched during the pandemic was really a signal, I think, to them that we could be extremely successful, you know, both in a pandemic and outside of it. So that's sort of what happened in that regard. And we raised over $3 million. So we have about 18 to 24 months runway. And we're starting to hopefully speak with our potential Series A investors mid this year, at least start the conversations.
Congratulations on that again. So, which brings me down to my last and final question in regards to, because in July, August, you know, March, if we go just rewind back, March, April, May was more like of everyone's kind of like adjusting to the new normal. Then yes, being founders, they're workaholics and everything, you know, so they kind of like, they just sit on their laptop and they start working, and they can work for like 14 hours or 18 hours a day, right? But what happens is the team starts feeling the burnouts eventually, you know, because prior when you were going to office, going back home used to be the cutoff time. But when it's work from home, then it's kind of like work. Yes. So team started feeling that in July, August, you know, the burnouts, and then companies started coming up with policies or changes. Internally, small teams, okay, to take care of the mental health and those kind of things.
Yes.
What changes have you done? Did you guys feel the burnouts? And if yes, what kind of changes you adopted at Cobble to overcome those challenges?
Yeah, well, you know, first, I started building the team during the pandemic as well. So I had a couple of people in the sort of world of Cobble, our CFO, Marie, in London, our single engineer, Josh. But otherwise, we hired everyone, you know, during the pandemic. And so most people in the company, I haven't even met face-to-face yet. So it was really about starting a culture virtually, which, you know, again, I never would have expected. And it's been a challenge to figure out, how do you make people feel connected? How do you make sure people feel like they can take breaks or work when they feel most motivated? And I think we've done a pretty good job of just setting really clear expectations, checking in regularly, goal setting. And it's sort of like, if you can get your work done, that's it. And if we can hit our goals, that's it. And everyone is just so excited about what we're building that I think having that sort of inspiration behind everything you do is really what drives the team. But in terms of mental health and burnout, like, of course, you know, that is something that we all struggle with. And for me, you know, I think having some resources, like, for example, there's a company called COA that holds these emotional leadership courses. They're fantastic. And I've definitely taken a lot of those about how to sort of how to learn how to give feedback and take feedback. You know, it's something that I think every single person everywhere should take this course, because we all could be better about it. But generally just putting an emphasis, making sure we're having one-on-ones where we're really talking to each other and saying, like, how are you? Like, we are just alone sitting in our apartments. Like, what's going on? Let's have calls where we don't talk about work, where we just are connecting. But I think, you know, burnout is just part of starting a company and joining a small company. And for us, it's just really been about open conversation. And I think it really starts with the leader, right? Like, if I'm not open, then the team doesn't feel like they can be open. So I really try to be an open book for the team.
So, okay, I still have 2 minutes for my last question. I'll make this one my last one.
Please, go away.
Personal productivity things, you know, personal productivity hacks you're doing at your end on your daily routine that keeps you very active, proactive, and keep everything sane.
I have a few productivity tips. Number one, I use Notion for all of my tasks and everything that I need to get done.
I love Notion. I'm a big fan of Notion. I just love it.
Yeah. It's awesome. And I used to always be on Trello, but now I've made the switch and I feel so much better.
I've kind of like made a mini Trello board inside my Notion. So that way my task team, they didn't feel the switch. I'm like, and I call it the Trello board inside Notion. It's a tab I call it Trello. So they just go there and look at it.
Oh my God, that is so funny. But no, I've encouraged everyone on my team to do Notion as well. Otherwise, you know, there's some like just mental health stuff that I do. You know, I really think moving your body and being mindful is the best way to practice focus. I think the sort of main way any of us can be successful is to have sort of this strong focus. And if you don't practice that, you know, it can't be worked. And so I try to do that with yoga, and meditation has been, you know, a journey. I'm still figuring it out, but I'm definitely putting effort there. But in terms of some other productivity hacks, I'm trying to think, like, we love Notion. We use Asana for development sprints. What else? Oh, I just switched over to Superhuman as my email client. And I, for once, am like actually getting to inbox zero. So I think that's a productivity hack in itself.
I'm kind of like confused. I've kind of like skipped the waiting list, done everything paid for. I'm kind of like confused whether to go from Gmail to Superhuman or not. I'm just like so super confused right now.
You're not alone in that, because I convinced my dad, who's a diehard Outlook guy, to switch over to Superhuman, and he's giving it his best shot, but there's definitely a few things that he's like, how do I do this that I'm used to doing with my email? But for me, it's just super clean, and I care so much about user experience and not feeling overwhelmed and just sort of delineating everything that it works for me.
And how many mails are you dealing on a daily basis?
How many emails? Oh my goodness. I'd say like 50 to 100. I mean, we've got,
I'm in the same range. Yeah.
We have, you know, regular team correspondence. We have constantly small businesses reaching out to us to be featured on Cobble. And, you know, we care so much about supporting these businesses and continuing to pivot with them as they pivot, right? So if indoor dining is closed down, they create this unbelievable meal kit delivery box, we should be featuring that. You know what I mean? So it's important to keep up to date on all of those.
All right. Jordan, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm pretty sure we could have talked another half an hour, but my marketing team forces me to keep them within 15 minutes. Thank you so much for being on the show.
I love it. Thank you so much. It was awesome talking to you.